Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having a wonderful Wednesday today. Some different articles that I've been reading go through a few different topics we're going to go over, including the shooting, some more stuff I found out, and some other new stuff. And so how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's a beautiful day today. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And you guys know I say that a lot because that's how I believe and that's how I feel. So, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for being here today. Tomorrow we're supposed to have Robert David Steele back on for the for 30 minutes. And then on Friday, Austin's going to be traveling to a wedding up in up north. And we're going to be basically bringing in Dave Hodges for the show. So Dave's looking forward to doing the show with me on Friday. And then Friday night I will be hosting personally the Hagman Show. And I will be bringing on multiple guests for the 3 hours, including doing entire segments, if you guys want to listen to the show that night, on health and nutrition. I'm actually going to break out a bunch of my overheads and slides and health presentations that I've done for 30 years. And we're going to have a full-blown stress management seminar online. We're going to have all kinds of stuff that we're going to do that's going to be a real big blessing to everybody who wants to really get into in-depth teaching on how to be healthy, guys. So it's going to be a fun time on Friday night.
Absolutely, man. Everybody will enjoy that. So, yeah, there's a few great articles I want to go over today, but the first one I want to touch base on, just so everybody stays apprised on what's going on with a lot of this stuff. More and more, as we told you guys yesterday, this whole story is getting so convoluted and changing so rapidly. Almost every day, the story's changing again. And in my opinion, this is intentional. They're trying to adapt to what people are talking about. They're trying to confuse people as much as possible. I just saw the article yesterday that came out now that they said he targeted aviation fuel tanks, which we talked about. They've now found incendiary rounds in the room, and they found them at the fuel tanks, basically fragments of them hit the fuel tanks, which I'll talk about in a second. And they said that he had personal protection body armor gear in the hotel room and part of his escape plan. The whole aspect I have with that is also, too, if you guys remember yesterday, I told you the whole story changed with the individual that was shot, the security guard. First, when it came out, they said that this guy interrupted Paddock's shooting 10 minutes into the shooting. Paddock shot 200 rounds through the door and into the hallway, shot the guy in the leg, and he notified security. Now they came out yesterday and said he did not interrupt him. He ran into the room or tried to enter the room six minutes before the shooting started. Then he shot the security guard. Security guard took off. That's a very huge discrepancy there. Having 200 rounds go off in a hotel hallway and shoot a security guard 6 minutes before a mass shooting takes place and having somebody get shot in the hallway in the middle of a mass shooting are two huge discrepancies you are not going to misinterpret as an investigative individual. If you're doing FBI investigation, Las Vegas PD, you're not going to mix those up. Well, the second thing that I really wanted to discuss real quick was the aviation fuel tanks that nobody seems to really think anything about. Everybody's going, well, they found fragments of the fuel tanks. They found incendiary rounds in the fuel tanks. First off, 5.56 incendiary rounds will not penetrate any type of significant metal much further than 50 to 60 yards, period. There's a video online. I even pulled it up. They try to run API, which is incendiary armor-piercing incendiary rounds, at level 3 body armor at 30 yards, and it doesn't penetrate it. It just doesn't do it. The fuel tankers from the 32nd floor of his suite, supposedly, to where the rounds are being found now at the fuel tank is a 700-yard shot. I just looked it up online, meaning you'd have to be one blithering idiot to even think you could get a 5.56 round out that far and have it penetrate much of anything. That brings to my second point. The only way he could have gotten rounds out there and made any type of significant damage would have been with an incendiary 308 at best. I think it'd still have to have a bigger caliber to penetrate that far. But if you did, because there was a 308 in his room, supposedly, you see it in the photos, that's what they're talking about now, an AR-10 platform, which is a 308. The only way he could have done that long of a shot and actually made targets at 700 yards would have been a very precise, smooth 308 shot, you know, one after another with, you know, 5 to 10 second breaks, squeezing rounds off, very controlled. There's not a single video online of anything but rapid automatic fire coming from some point of the hotel or around the hotel or in the air that nobody can seem to pinpoint still with a video. There's not a single break where I heard full auto fire stop and somebody squeezing off single shot sniper rounds, one after another, after another, after another. There's no way you could get rounds out that far with an automatic weapon and ever expect to hit them with any type of accuracy. And in my opinion as well, I still don't think you could get a 308 to penetrate giant jet fuel tanks at 700 meters out, even with API rounds. I don't think it's possible. I've never physically tried that, but I have shot them into steel targets before, and even at a couple hundred yards, you usually can get some penetration into AR-500 steel. But those jet fuel tanks that are sitting there with thousands, tens of thousands of gallons of fuel, they're not just sheet metal, guys. This isn't just like sheet metal in a car door you're just going to punch through. They're very, very, very heavy steel. So I just wanted to kind of touch base on that, that this whole, which brings me to the main point, that there had to be somebody else shooting at the same time he was doing this, which would make sense, because if they really did want to have some massive, significant, insane casualty rate and cause more damage, light up two of those jet fuel tankers over there with a large caliber rifle, sniper round, API round, from that distance, that would have done some serious damage. Not only would it have done damage, you would have had the massive explosion, the whole shebang for all the mainstream media to play over and over and over again. So it very well is plausible they were trying to shoot that, Dad. But this whole story, and then there's a video I sent Dad. I had a customer send it to me yesterday. It's inside of the Tropicana casino part. They have a supposedly what it looks like is a high roller being escorted out of the hotel by SWAT and private security. Now, this is not him being detained. He's carrying what looks like a little money pouch, and these guys are running a security detail, six of them in front of them with full body armor and AR-15s, while one of the security guards is pointing his rifle, and I kid you not, in the faces of the patrons. As they walk around the corner in the hotel, they say, "Hands up!" They yell that. Everybody, hands up. The entire hotel stops what they're doing, including the chip, including the car dealers, everybody, and puts their hands up in the air while these six security guards, including Vegas PD SWAT, walk through full body armor and AR-15s pointed in the patrons' faces, blatantly in their faces, while they escort this one guy carrying seriously a purse that couldn't have had more than $100,000 in cash in it outside. And apparently this happened during the shooting. The odd part to me that makes sense is it was not all SWAT, and it was not all private security, and it was not all hotel security. It was a mix of all three. Why they would act like this in this, I have no idea. I have never in my life seen somebody escorted out of a casino that was a high roller with that level of security. They usually have private detail that are in suits with firearms that are covered. They're not pointing their weapons in patrons' faces and forcing everybody to stop what they're doing while they put their hands up in the air to escort one guy out that has a little bit of cash on him. Because think about it, guys, if you're in a situation where there's an active shooter outside, you're trying to figure out where he's shooting, there's machine gun going outside, is your main priority really is your main priority really going to be to extract one guy that's walking around with $100,000 in cash with six security details with machine guns out to wherever they were going past the video scene stop? I beg to differ. Absolutely no way in heck that Vegas PD is going to pull three of their SWAT members off to do private security detail to some bogus high roller to escort him out of the casino. Never going to happen at all in the midst of an active shooting event like that. Never going to happen. You guys, any SWAT team on the planet, I'm friends with multiple SWAT team members in Polk County, and they would never act like that. Their primary goal is to take out the active shooter. That is their main primary goal when that situation starts, not protect some bobo high roller because he's got $100,000 in cash and point rifles in all the patrons' faces as you force them to put their hands up in the air. That video was so bizarre to me, and nobody that I have shown it to that works in security or law enforcement can explain it to me whatsoever, why you have mixed security detail with hotel detail with SWAT detail escorting one single guy out with a little bag of cash, Dad. So there's a whole lot of stuff going on in that video and a lot of stuff that keeps changing out there that is showing everybody, I think, that this is not what happened. There is a whole other story behind this, and we have to keep doing our research to try and expose what really happened here.
tomorrow night, we're going to be, or on a Friday, we're going to be talking about this some. Doug told me today that he has a sheriff's officer who is a listener of the Hagmann Show, that he's known Doug for almost 10 years. And he said he was in the field helping with triage and had to plug a bullet hole in somebody while they were taken care of. So Doug told me he trusts this guy. He's known him for 10 years. And he said the FBI has completely taken over the investigation, and they put a gag order now on all of the police departments and the sheriffs, and everybody can't talk.
There you go.
Same thing we saw in Orlando, Austin, when they said, with no comment, we can't talk about this. And then the one guy, off the record, he said, hey, yeah, everything they're telling you is a lie. So, I mean, so this is a major problem that's going on in Vegas. And at this point, it'll be another Jack Ruby, John F. Kennedy, Oswald, Bobby Kennedy, 9/11, all of this garbage. It's going to all be the same thing again. All of these false flags they've been doing for decades of time. It's just a giant, giant mess. And quite frankly, the only way that I'd really believe any of this stuff about any of these people, if I'd actually been in the crowd myself or at Vegas at the time, and I would have been actively involved in it, and if I'd have had to, I'd have run up to that stinking 33rd floor to find out what the heck was going on. But the problem was, machine gun fire wasn't coming out of that. There was no smoke coming out of that room, and there was no muzzle flashes coming out of that room, and I didn't see any muzzle suppressors on any of the weapons that he was firing. So the whole thing is just a bunch of lies. We've all been set up again to distract us, like I talked about yesterday when I went off. I kind of got berserk yesterday. I apologize for that, you guys. I kind of got fed up with the whole deal yesterday, because it's just they're giving us bits and pieces of information to do nothing but confuse us. That's all they're doing, and they're constantly changing the official narrative, and that's just simply to confuse us. And what they're doing is, let me explain it to you this way. They're monitoring all alternative talk, all news, all phone calls, all computers, everything. They monitor for specific keywords, and they listen to shows and broadcasts, and their supercomputer compiles information on every single day about what's going on in the mainstream news narrative. That's why when you have mainstream news saying one thing, if the alternative news comes out and says something else, because it's so big now, they've got to issue a separate statement, alternative news, to try to defuse what the alternative news have said. In other words, they've got to continually do active damage control based upon their computer modeling and what's going on with their beta test. Remember, this is a beta test. Whenever they do false flags, they're always collecting information. They did the same thing when H.G. Wells' book was read back in the 30s or 40s, I can't remember what year it was in, about the War of the Worlds. And when it was read, they read it as a true news story, and people all over the country went into full-blown panic mode because they thought the aliens were coming, and that was a beta test to see what would happen. Orson Welles did the reading himself, and it was a full-blown psych-op right out of the doggone kitchens of Nazi Germany with their concentration camps. All of this stuff they did as far as seeing what would happen to somebody when they were exposed to this type of information and how the country would react. And the country reacted badly to the thought of the Martians invading us, and people were running out in the streets, and all kinds of crazy things happened when they did that War of the Worlds live on the radio like it was a news story. And people just want to believe what the media says, Austin, and that's why they're continually monitoring the media to try to find out. I mean, one of the other top talk show hosts the other day was talking about the ballistics that were involved in shooting that far. Then suddenly this blank sheet of paper this guy has in the room has all the information about ballistics and bullet trajectory. Are you kidding me? Why weren't we told that to start with? Now, all of a sudden, it's just an ongoing fluid thing because of the lies they're constantly telling people, constantly. All of this is from Tavistock, the offices of Naval Intelligence. All of these guys do all of the time is to do beta tests and see how people are going to respond and to see how people are going to react, because they want to know exactly what's going to happen. This is why they're trying to tie us into the 5G network. They want to do the best they possibly can to completely control our thoughts and our actions by frequency, and to control our actions before we do our actions. They want to know us so well. That's why we talked about not ever filling out surveys. They want to know what Ted Brower or Austin Brower, any of you listening today, are going to do in the event of a national emergency. They want to know if you're going to pony up, grab a doggone 12-gauge shotgun, if you're going to grab a 308 or a 223, or if you're going to mount up on a wall, or you're going to basically say, hey, guys, you know, we're going to sit there and defend our country. They want to know. And they can determine all of that based upon internet traffic and chatter, they call it. And they pick up all the keywords. And if the big if the needle swings one way when the computer says, hey, everybody's talking about this, then this is a false flag. They're saying that now this guy had advanced ballistics. We've got to counter that right now and put something in that story that, oh, we found a sheet of paper now with the advanced ballistics. Now, at a 700-yard shot, trying to penetrate a steel tank with a liner on the inside. Remember, they don't put the fuel against the liner. They have like a real thick polypropylene liner inside of the steel tank. You have to penetrate multiple layers of liner, including a steel outside tank from 700 yards. You could do that with a 50 caliber round that had an exploding C4 charge in it. You know, an incendiary round. You could do that with one of those rounds that are, I don't even know if they even sell those kind of silly rounds anymore. But you could do something like that if you had that type of equipment. Other than that, the 308 will never penetrate that far. A 223 will never penetrate that far. And quite frankly, they're saying that a 223 penetrated that close or a 308 penetrated from that distance, they're lying. That means somebody else was firing rounds a lot closer at those tanks than that guy in that hotel room was firing. I've shot 308s at 600, 700 yards. You've got to really adjust your optics on a 308 to get it to arc enough to do hit stuff. Now, you can hit stuff with it. It's still got a pretty good knockdown power, 308 does, at 800, 700 yards, but you got to be one heck of a shooter to do that. Now, 50 caliber, that's pretty easy. At 600, 700 yards, I plinked targets at 600 yards with a 50 caliber, and we were shooting them one time. We had a man-sized swinging silhouette that was 1 inch thick, plate steel, and it was hooked up on a bunch of chains to a huge carriage that it was on at 600 yards. And we had that gun sighted in so tight that you could literally hit that doggone target with every single shot. And we weren't using high-performance 308 rounds. We were using, like, military surplus 50 caliber rounds. And so, you know, we weren't even using the match-grade 50 caliber rounds. So a 50 caliber would have done it with an incendiary round if you could even buy stuff like that. I don't know if they're legal or not to have any of me. I've never even seen one of those things. But the thing about it is that this is the kind of stuff. I mean, this, remember, 50 caliber is a phenomenal weapon. I love a 50 caliber gun, but they're very, very expensive. But notice, they didn't have the 50 caliber weapons in that room because there's no reason to do that. 50 caliber weapons are so rare and they're so stinking expensive when you buy them. They're like $14,000 with a decent set of optics and a silencer or suppressor because you don't silence a 50. If you put a suppressor on, I've shot one with a suppressor on it, all it does is blow a bunch of junk back in your face, and it's still louder than a 308. It's still really loud. And so you still have to have like multiple hearing protection on with a 50 caliber. But if you had unleashed with a 50 caliber, it would have sounded like artillery rounds went off in that hotel. They're that loud. When you shoot a 50, guys, if you ever get a chance to rent one of these at the range like we've been able to do, when you set it up on the table and you drop that load into it, you drop that gun into it and you sight it in, when you shoot that round, a normal gun explodes and pops and cracks like that. The 50 doesn't do that. When it ignites, it explodes on the inside of the gun. The entire gun trembles, and then the bullet comes out. I mean, it's unbelievable shooting one of those things, the power behind it. And so it's really an artillery round made for, like, you know, anti-personnel carriers and aircraft. That's why they use it on airplanes. It's an incredible piece of equipment that was developed during World War II. And, guys, it's just that's not what they were after. They were after all of the stock guns that you could buy at any gun store, all the bump fire stocks. And quite frankly, I don't even know why they're picking up bump fire stocks. I consider a bump fire stock to be a complete piece of crap, excuse my language, but I do. I mean, the only thing a bump fire stock would be good for, and this is what it would be good for, is if you were shooting a level trajectory and you had a thousand zombies coming at you and they were all clustered together and you had to shoot as many zombies as you possibly could, as fast as you possibly could, then a bump fire stock would probably be okay if they were like 40 or 50 feet away from you. Other than that, guys, that thing's jumping up 2 and 3 degrees every time you shoot it, and it's not going to be something you're going to be able to control, because if any kind of automatic 308, that doesn't matter what it is, unless it's a belt fed on a bipod or a tripod, it's going to jack up on you when it comes up with the gun. It's going to raise up on you. Austin and I were out there at Vegas one time, matter of fact, and we were shooting a Thompson submachine gun with a 45 caliber rounds, full auto in Vegas, and when you shoot it after about the first two or three rounds, it starts raising up and to the right. It pulls real hard to the right because it starts jerking up because of the torque of the bullet coming through the barrel and because of the bullet coming out of the other side. So what ends up happening is it's very inaccurate. That's why in Vietnam they told most of the soldiers, don't fire your weapons on full auto. Put them on three-shot bursts. You'll burn through too much ammo because you'll dump a 30-round magazine or 20-round magazine in like 3 or 4 seconds on full auto on a 223. And so what you need to do is put them on three round bursts. You go, it goes, burr, that's what it does. That's how it sounds. Burr, that's what it does. And three rounds come out. And it doesn't jump up on you, because the 223 doesn't jump up near as much as a 308 or a 45 Thompson, because the Thompsons are really a light weapon. They're really a great weapon, but they're like a scatter gun. It's hard to hit stuff with them. That's why I was watching that silly movie with Tom Hanks. It was called Road to Perdition a few years ago, in which he was firing that thing from like 100 yards away at the end of another far alley, and he dumps like 100 rounds into these guys and shoots everybody with his machine gun. That would have been very difficult to do because it jumps up too much. And it's just one of those guns that, you know, is a cool gun to shoot. I like to own one, but they're so expensive now with a pre-86 ban. But the whole thing about it is that they're not real accurate like any other machine gun on a full fire that you're trying to hand hold. That's why I said, personally, I was watching the video of the gun coming out of that third or fourth floor. It was flash. It looked like that gun was set up on a tripod, because when you watch it, it didn't have any muzzle height. It didn't jump up. It stayed completely level in the window when it was running. You see it, brrr, just like a 60 caliber going off. I'm sorry, a 308 going off, a 60 machine gun. And the whole thing about it is it never jacked up. There's no way a 64-year-old guy was holding a 308 and shooting it like that and not having it jack up on it. It can't do it. It has to come up because of the recoil. So, guys, that's my little part on all that. But anything you want to add to all that, Austin? Let's go to a different topic.
Well, though, I just thought about it a second ago. You know what they could be doing with this whole incendiary round, hitting the jet tanks, all that? It may be a total lie. It may not even be real. They may be doing this to add another addition into this now to bring up the aspects of limiting certain types of ammunition. Remember, they've already done this with ATF. They tried to do this years ago with the green tip, the XM855, the steel core penetrator 5.56 calibers, where they said they could penetrate body armor, which every rifle round can penetrate soft body armor. So it was completely null and void what their argument was, but they tried to say it was banned for civilian usage. This may be the next step is what they're trying to add in there. I've already seen articles now that are coming up that said Feinstein, an extreme liberal woman out in California who's like pushing the bump stocks to be banned, all this stuff now, they're already writing up an accessory bill that they're going to try to push that basically isn't just going to be limited to bump stocks. It's going to be limited to any accessory that can allow the firearm to shoot high capacity, high rate rounds at, you know, basically an adjusted rate that is in order for it to do a mass shooting of this type. It's real weird verbiage. What they're doing is they're wanting to do it so they can limit magazines, grips, optics, slide fires, everything. The same thing I called before. Secondly, if they come in now and they say, well, these incendiary rounds, they could have landed the jet fuel. It's just by sheer luck they didn't penetrate, which we know they didn't. There's no chance they could have anyways. It may be another foothold for them to try to come in and limit the type of ammunition that we're allowed to possess and buy, which will be just another aspect on our Second Amendment rights that they're trying to erode that. So that's just another, that's just me speculating on it, but that's just another side thought with me thinking about it.
Well, they're going to do everything they possibly can to take that Second Amendment away. By the way, I didn't know this. There's an old school pharmacy in Congress up in Washington, D.C., that hand delivers drugs and prescriptions to Congress, and they send up to 100 prescriptions a day to the Hill for House, you know, for the Congress guys and the Senate guys. And I was reading this today, and it's really interesting. It's on statenews.com. It says, if House Speaker Paul Ryan comes down with the flu, he and his security detail don't go to the closest CVS. He says instead he can just walk downstairs, pick up the pills, a part of a little-known perk to every member of Congress from the Ryan and the Majority Leader Mitch McConnell down to the newest freshman Democrat or Republican. Nearly every day for the last two decades, pharmaceutical drugs have been brought by the carload every single day to the Capitol, an arrangement so under the radar that even pharmacy lobbyists who rarely pitch Congress on their industry aren't aware of it. Deliveries arrive at the secretive office of the attending physician in an elaborate medical clinic where Navy doctors triage medical emergencies and provide basic health care for lawmakers who pay an annual fee of just over $600. Everyone comes from Washington's oldest community pharmacy, Grubbs is the name of the article, the name of the pharmacy. Mike Kim, the reserved pharmacist turned owner of the pharmacy, said he has gotten used to knowing that the most sensitive details of some of the most famous people in Washington. Here's what he said, quote, this is why I'm reading this article. At first, it's cool, and then you realize I'm filling some drugs that are for some pretty serious health problems. And these are for people that are running the country. Kim said, listing treatments for conditions like diabetes and Alzheimer's. So we have people in Congress that supposedly, according to this article, have Alzheimer's. And then he goes on to say, quote, it makes you kind of sit back and say, wow, they're making the highest laws of the land, and they might not even remember what happened yesterday. Guys, when you see Nancy Pelosi, that mummy, she loses her train of thought every time she says stuff. She says all kinds of incredibly stupid stuff all the time. There's a real high probability that she and Barbara Boxer and a lot of the older members of Congress have senile dementia. Now, you guys are hearing me say this right. And they've been propped up in place by their constituency and by lobbyists because they vote the way they're supposed to. I feel the same way about John McCain, especially now that he has a Galil brain tumor. He'll be dead soon. And you know that's a very... You know, when I say that, I mean that very... I shouldn't say that, but I say it anyhow, and I know exactly what I'm saying, because I really dislike John McCain. I have disliked him ever since he caused the four-star disaster on that ship and all the things that have been covered up on that man. That man is... how he treats his family and his wives. This guy is a real piece of work. And so, quite frankly, you know, if he dies quickly, it'll be better off for our entire Senate, because John McCain is the one who now has single-handedly kept Obamacare active with all of us. And we need to all realize that. So, guys, so we now know that we have a guy who supplies medicine for Congress who is telling us that the people may not even remember who and what they're talking about the day before after they start taking drugs. I mean, this is absolutely crazy stuff that it's hard to even believe that this kind of stuff actually happens. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, it is. That's really weird. Well, also, too, on another topic, you know, a couple weeks ago I said that there's a good possibility with what happened in Puerto Rico now, they're going to start using this to start evacuating people out of Puerto Rico to start overloading the economies and the states of the United States. And as I talked about it, the article came out yesterday on the LA Times confirming exactly what I said now. There's supposedly right now plans to bring in 1 million Puerto Ricans into the United States. On top of that, Florida Governor Rick Scott declared a state of emergency last week in all 67 Florida counties, opened 3 disaster relief centers in Orlando, Miami, and Port of Miami, and basically said they were going to bring in as many as we can to help out. Now, here's the thing about this. I know a lot of people that are Puerto Ricans. I have friends that are Puerto Ricans. I don't have a bit of problem with them. I love a lot of those guys. They had a beautiful country. It got hit really hard down there. But what nobody understands is they're already saying right now that Orlando itself, the Orlando metropolitan area, right now is bracing for at least a minimum of 100,000 evacuees within the next month. And then essentially the U.S. government is going to find aid as far as housing, food, all this stuff for them. The problem is, guys, that nobody is addressing, and they're also going to be sending up a huge slew of them up to New York, Illinois, and Pennsylvania as well, another couple hundred thousand per state. We do not have the room in Florida, nor do we have the resources to handle this in local economies down here. I just went to Orlando this morning to go to my chiropractor, and literally I-4 is a parking lot. Interstate 4 turned into a parking lot within 5 minutes. I had to take every back road that I knew to get out there. It took me almost an hour and a half to drive what honestly should have been about a 35-minute drive. And people aren't realizing this. Everybody wants to retire down here. Everybody wants to migrate out of here because California's turned into such a horrible state. Everybody's trying to move down here right now. Now we're literally about to take in hundreds of thousands of individuals from Puerto Rico, which they have the right to do so because they are U.S. citizens technically. But what nobody understands is what jobs are we going to have for them? Where are we going to hold all these people for housing? When you start having influx of 100,000 individuals coming into one major city in Florida, you cannot literally handle that influx. That's why every single road in Central Florida is a parking lot now when you drive on it for half the day, unless you go late at night. They're all gridlocked now. There's more apartments going up, more housing going up, more people moving here, and yet it's turning into an absolutely horrific state, and nobody wants to address it. I'm like one of the only people that talk about it. This is something that everybody needs to realize. If you're planning on moving down here, I'm telling you exactly what you're moving down into, and people need to be aware of this and realize you moving here from another state is not going to make Florida any better. And I'm not picking on anybody, but we have a serious issue down here in this state, and the population is growing almost exponentially, especially in the central and south part of Florida. And you got to remember, we're one side away from being an island, guys. You can't cross over from state to state. This isn't Kansas. You can't just cross through every single direction. There's only one way in and one way out of the state. So when we get locked in here, and you saw this after the hurricane, we had the biggest max exodus in U.S. history when that hurricane was coming here last month. Literally 600,000 people trying to evacuate South Florida over a two-day period. It locked down every single interstate. They were stopped. Nobody moved for days on end. That's what happens when we have this happen down here. So be aware of that. And Florida's turning into not the state it used to be. And now, as I called it 3 weeks ago, now all these people from Puerto Rico are going to be coming in here even further, meaning that the Puerto Rican population is going to drop off dramatically, meaning more than likely there's some type of ploy or plan to change Puerto Rico as far as the island itself, to trigger it into something. They've gone bankrupt. There's something behind it. I don't trust any of these guys that are involved in the government. There's always a secondary agenda behind everything, but I knew this was going to happen because there's no other choice, and now we see it happening here. And that same thing my chiropractor said this morning. He goes, just in this small county that we're in right here, he goes, they've already told us we're getting a minimum of 60,000 evacuees here within the next couple months before the end of the year. He goes, I don't know where they're planning on taking everybody, but we already don't have enough housing or road or infrastructure or schools to handle the population that's already here. So, I don't know. That's my rant on it. I saw that today, and I was pretty frustrated, but that's what we're dealing with down here in this state.
Well, if you're going to move to Florida, which you can, I suggest you move to the north central part of the state, up there near Ocala, north of Gainesville, even higher up near the Lake City. From Lake City all the way to Tallahassee is pretty rural still. Plus, the weather's still really nice. Even if now, when you get to Tallahassee, Leon County goes so liberal, it's almost nauseating. That's the state. Of course, that's the home, that's the county of Florida State University, which is sad because of all the liberal professors in the legislature up there. Then you go west of there, and again, it gets real rural again. So if you're going to do it, if you go up to Chiefland, if you go up to those areas, Wildwood, you'll be pretty good. Well, Wildwood's getting pretty bad now too. But if you get up around if you go around the intersection of Interstate 75 and Interstate 10, it's still pretty rural, still pretty remote. But coming down to Central Florida or South Florida, I mean, we used to always joke, Austin, that we'd never live in South Florida. Now we've turned into South Florida. And so it's kind of sad. So now you go around and you start to find people who want to work. It's hard to find people that speak English. By the way, newly passed law in New York will jail parents if their kids are caught beating up other children and bullying. I thought that was interesting. This is North Tonawanda, New York, as Americans continue to become more and more dependent upon the state to manage their daily lives. A new law that was just approved in New York epitomizes this irresponsible, outright complacent practice. On October the 1st, a new law went into effect that will jail parents if their child is found bullying other minors. Members of the North Tonawanda Common Council hope the new law will put an end to bullying by holding parents accountable for their children's actions. Parents could be fined $250 and fined a sentence up to 15 days in jail if twice in the 90-day period their child under 18 violates the city's curfew or any other city law, including bullying. Now, I'm going to make a comment about this because I have seen bullies, and I have stopped bullies, and so has Austin. And when I was a little kid, you had a tendency riding school buses to get bullied by kids that were much older than you and much bigger than you. And it's an abhorrent practice. I hate it. I hate seeing it. I don't put up with it. And I put a stop to it whenever I see it, even now. The other day, we were basically, you know, in fact, it was last year, Austin and I were riding in downtown Auburndale, and some kid had jumped on a smaller kid and had him on the ground, and this is in the city park, and was absolutely just beating the holy living yik-yak out of that boy. Austin jumps out of the car, scares the kids all to death, because they're like 15, 16, 17 years old, and Austin says, "What are you doing, boy?" And basically, they froze. They didn't know what to do. And then they got up and they all ran away. But I felt so sorry for that little kid that was on the ground just getting pummeled by this other kid. I find that type of behavior abhorrent. So here's the problem that I have with all of this, with the nanny state that we live in. the parents should already be stopping this. The parents should not be encouraging their children to beat up other children. I mean, I always get a chuckle and a sadness out of the fact that you see these little stick figures, you know, on the back of cars and windows. And one day I saw a sign on the back of it that says, my kid will beat up your honor student or your stick figure family. And I thought to myself, who says stuff like that? Guys, the thing we have to do as Christians is this. We need to raise our children to have power with restraint. We shouldn't allow our kids to go around and, you know, and pick on other children. We should have our children trained in such a way that they know that they need to defend the innocent. So when I see stuff like this, I realize that a lot of parents are just not real good parents, and that maybe they need to be brought in before the doggone judge or before the sheriff or whatever and have a little talking to if their kids are on a constant basis beating up other children. And you see it like in the inner city. It's ridiculous, in Pennsylvania, and you know, and you see it in some of these big cities that these kids in these areas are completely ghetto ridden, and the kids are scared to death to go to school. This is in Philadelphia, particularly on the west side. The kids are scared to death to go to school because they're going to get beat up all the time, and people move away just so they don't have to go to that school anymore because of the beatings that these kids are taking. So, guys, I don't know. What do you think about it, Austin? Should parents be held accountable if their children repeatedly bully other children?
Yeah, I think so, especially if there's bodily damage. I mean, now, if a kid gets in a fight once and all of a sudden you're sending out a search warrant for the parents, that's an issue. The only problem I have with this is, again, you're giving more of that police dictatorial power over to the state to allow them to essentially jail you if something happens. The thing about it, though, that you have to look at is that most kids, when they act like this repeatedly, it is something to do with parental problems. The parents are usually hyper-aggressive.
Right.
They usually beat the kids, and it stems down. You don't generally have one fight incident or a rare incident where they get into a fist fight outside because they want to spar each other. That doesn't usually happen. This is going back to bullying, actually kids being violent, degenerate kids, and going around picking on other kids, sucker punching them behind the head, jumping on them, taking their stuff, dumping their backpacks out on top of them. Absolutely just egregious behavior. So yes, if you have a kid that's repeatedly getting suspended for that, he's constantly having to go to the principal's office for not defending a fight, not even stopping or protecting himself, but simply bullying kids. Yeah, I do agree with that. The issue that it's going to be is, where's the line going to be drawn and how are the laws going to be interpreted? Is it going to be kept very, very strict as far as, yes, if there is evidence and there's eyewitness accounts that the individual is a bullying child, he's done this repeatedly, we have multiple reports of other children reporting that he does this repeatedly, yes, then obviously things need to be addressed with the parents. If this is going to be one of those things where they're going to use this as an excuse where, oh, you're child got in a fight because somebody hit him and he hit them back, so we're basically going to issue a warrant for you and you're going to have to appear in court because your child is a violent child now. That's the area that I don't know how to handle this. I'm not in the school system, so I don't have to deal with it that much. I know we have some different friends of ours that are in the school system. I'm sure they've seen this before. There's going to be pros and cons to this. If it can be monitored and used under rare circumstances where you really see that this is a significant problem and it's systemic from the parents, then yeah, I think it needs to be addressed this way. I just hope it's not abused of the way I was just talking about.
I hope so too, buddy. Oh, by the way, a giant mysterious hole has opened up in Antarctica. I always like doing these Antarctica stories because it's so weird down there. And the scientists are saying we're still trying to figure out what's going on. Now, I'm going to say something very quickly here, and I'm not going to know how you guys are going to handle it, but Admiral Byrd and some of the other guys that supposedly went on expeditions down there, they were talking about giant caverns that you could literally fly a plane into. Now, whether that's true or not, I have absolutely no idea. But this hole is huge. It's a hole as large as Lake Superior or the entire state of Maine has opened up in Antarctica, and scientists aren't sure why it's there. The giant mysterious hole is quite remarkable, atmospheric physicist Kent Moore, professor of the University of Toronto's campus, told this guy who wrote the article. It looks like he just punched a hole in the ice. Area of the open water surrounded by the sea ice, such as this one, are known as Polynias. They form coastal regions of Antarctica, Moore told this author. What's strange here, though, is that this Polynia is deep into the ice pack, he said, and it must have formed through other processes that are not understood. Guys, I'm going to say this again because everybody seems to want to forget this. John Kerry Secretary of State, went to Antarctica on November the 8th during the election. This is the guy third in charge of the White House. Went to Antarctica on November the 8th to the election. The head of the Russian Orthodox Church has met in Antarctica. We have all kinds of people traveling to Antarctica to see who knows what down there. Guys, everything that we talk about on this show, I like exploring some of this paranormal stuff. Because, guys, we have been so lied to as a species on this planet. And we have been so been misled. I'm telling you guys, they tell you if you fly over Antarctica, they will shoot you down so you don't crash. That whole thing's stupid. If somebody wanted to fly a plane over Antarctica and they didn't have any places they could go and land if they ran out of fuel or if they had an emergency and they couldn't be rescued, that's their own choice. Who cares? But they tell you that if you fly over Antarctica, they will shoot you down with military aircraft and force you to land if you breach the perimeter of Antarctica. What the heck is going on in Antarctica? Steve Quayle has written extremely good books on this and talked about it in depth. He's a much better person than I am as far as trying to discuss this. But I just wanted to bring this up one more time about Antarctica now that a giant, mysterious hole has opened up the size of Maine. What do you think, Oz?
It's pretty bizarre, man. That's actually really bizarre. There's so much secrecy that encompasses Antarctica. It's almost a joke to a certain point. As you just said, I mean, it's the only continent in the world that we're not allowed to go to freely and go back and forth and travel. You can't go on personal expeditions out there. You can't travel out there. You can't fly out there. And anybody that says otherwise, try and do so. I've looked. You can't do anything with it. The furthest you can really go is a cruise ship that takes you on that tiny little peninsula that comes out and starts to go inland slightly if you want to take tours down there and watch the penguins and go walk around. That's the extent of what you can do with Antarctica. And then there's some groups that have gone down there, the exploring stuff, or they do scientific stuff, and they stay in small little subgroups, and there's not really much significant long-term traveling all over the place. Granted, the conditions down there are extremely cold from what I've read, and from some of the photos I've seen, it looks pretty chilly. But when you start doing the research on what the Nazis were doing down there, and then how they left everything unexplainably, and they just dropped everything they were doing and vacated that place after they had been down there for years doing research, so we know it wasn't weather-related. You wouldn't go down to a place and stay down there in a frostbite frozen continent for 3 or 4 years and then just leave all the stuff you find, all the artifacts, all the Viking horns, all the stuff you found, just leave them where they're at. So there's some weird complex things in Antarctica, and that was just giant hole opened up underneath it. Sure, there's ice everywhere. It could have opened up. Yeah, but I'm curious what's underneath the hole. I'm curious what's underneath Antarctica, and I've been the same thing with that. Why can't we fly around and explore Antarctica at our will whenever we feel like doing it, however we feel like doing it? Why is it so secretive and so restricted if there's nothing down there? That's what they always say. Well, you don't need to fly down there. There's nothing down there. It's an ice continent. Well, that's good. Okay, that's fine. Well, I still want to go down there. Well, you can't go down there. It's for your own protection. My own protection. Well, I have my own plane. I just want to fly down there. I want to do it. No, you can't do it. We have to protect you. So if you fly down there, we're going to shoot you down and protect you. Oh, okay. I really don't understand that logic, but okay. I don't really feel like getting shot down, so I won't argue with you on that anymore. That's pretty much what you have to go with on it. So yeah, weird stuff going down there. Also, too, even more bizarre, as we see the biometric mark of the beast coming closer and closer, as I've brought this up for years. You guys know it's been going on for years. Now we have Mike Miller, the World Olympian Association chief executive, claiming that radical anti-doping methods, including implants to recognize the effects of banned substances, are now needed to protect the sport. Miller said, "We're a nation of dog lovers. We're prepared to chip our dogs, and it doesn't seem to harm them, so why aren't we prepared to chip ourselves?" Miller goes on to say, "In order to stop doping, we need to chip our athletes, where the latest technology is there. Some people say it's an invasion of privacy. Well, this sport is a club, and people don't have to join this club if they don't want to, if they can't follow the rules." He's advocating that all Olympic athletes now be microchipped to regularly check their blood levels for any type of steroids or doping, as they call it, or anabolic uses they may be using. This, on first hand, has to be one of the most ignorant things I've ever seen as far as from a real true life aspect. So what they're going to say is now, oh, Well, you don't want to be implanted? Well, you must be on steroids, so you can't be involved in the Olympics now. This is all about, and you gotta remember, there's a lot of these people, majority of them, they prepare since they're young kids and teenagers for the Olympics, their whole life. Now they're gonna have to reach a point where they're either gonna have to give up their goals of winning a gold medal, or submit to this giant globalist UN nasty police state that they're trying to impose on us with this new world order and implanting everybody and submit to this and be implanted to be an athlete in the Olympic Games. This is repulsive to me that he's trying to use this as an excuse to monitor blood levels so they can prevent these guys from being on any type of steroids while they're in the Olympics. The Olympics already has the most restrictive blood work and tamper work you can do as far as anti-doping. The rules dictate right now already that athletes must declare on an online database where they will be every day for a one-hour window between 5 a.m. and 11 p.m. coming into the show, basically the Olympic Games. So drug testers can show up without warning and drug test them for blood test results, and then it's analyzed over a period of time for the effects, and they see what's in the blood. There's already super restrictive measures for this. So the only reason he's trying to do this is push this chip, biochip, implant, mark of the beast nonsense. Duh, this stuff drives me nuts. That they're trying to force on us now under the guise of, well, if you basically aren't for being biochipped, then you're for steroids and you don't even need to be a part of our club. Last time I checked, people have been doing the Olympics for hundreds and hundreds of years, all the way back to the times of Greece, they've been doing that. There is no way you have the right to tell people they have to have a microchip implanted in you if they want to compete in one of the longest sports that's ever been existing on the planet. He is a blithering idiot, and he's a mouthpiece for the global regime that's trying to push this New World Order, Dad. That has nauseated me. When I saw that article, it made me really irritated that he's trying to push this agenda now under the guise of anti-doping rules in the Olympics.
Well, you know, it's crazy. I agree with you, Austin. And I remember I talked to Mary Lou Retton about this personally. I mean, face-to-face, and Carl Lewis face-to-face. And they both told me that they have very, very strict policies in the Olympics. And in fact, even caffeine, which you guys are probably not aware of, caffeine is a banned substance in Olympic competition. So if you have three or four cups of coffee and you go run a 100-meter race and they check your blood levels and you've got all this caffeine floating around in your blood, you're done. You're not getting your medal. Caffeine will eliminate you being a medal contender. So they've already got all kinds of strict rules. This is all being done because of Lance Armstrong, because of the doping that he was doing. And a lot of other athletes have done it and gotten away with it because they found ways to trick the systems. But guys, you know, whatever, man. We got transgenders going to be competing in the next Olympics. I mean, you know, whatever that even means. I mean, who cares anymore? I mean, who watches it anymore? By the way, report. Barge rates, as far as cost of shipping goods via the barge, have skyrocketed due to global warming amid Ohio and Mississippi River concerns because we have a much lower water level. Large crop harvest this season, along with limited barge space to portions of the Ohio and Mississippi rivers, are being closed since it's basically not enough water flow. They have sent spot rates for barge transportation through the roof for October, according to a report from the Farm Journal. I mean, this is something, again, that we've seen. Just last week, spot rates for export grain increased 27% to 50% compared to the week before, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The rate increases are expected to rise through October as there is no rain in the forecast. So, guys, this is interesting to watch what's going on with the food, because G. Edgar Griffin wrote a really good book on this and did a video on this. In fact, it was basically going to be weather warfare to control food production, and we're starting to see that all of the time. By the way, there's been a tenfold increase in childhood and adolescent obesity in the past 40 years, 1,000% increase. The number of obese children ages 5 to 19 years worldwide has risen tenfold in the past four decades, according to the new study led by the Imperial College of London and the World Health Organization. If the current trends continue, more children and adolescents will be obese than moderately or severely underweight by 2022. So in other words, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. This study was published in The Lancet ahead of World Obesity Day, and it analyzed weight and height measurements from nearly 130 million people aged 5 to age 19. It's the largest number of participants ever involved in an epidemiological study. More than 1,000 researchers contributed to the study, which looked at the body mass index and how obesity has changed worldwide from 1975 to 2016. Guys, this is primarily because of high fructose corn syrup. I'm going to say it again, primarily because of high fructose corn syrup that is being used now instead of cane sugar. The high fructose corn syrup makes you incredibly ravenously hungry, and it never turns off the receptors to tell you that you're full. So you want to eat more and more and more of this food they're feeding you. The manufacturers knew this. They discovered this relationship in our endocrine system back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. That's why they shifted more and more and more to high fructose corn syrup. That's why we will not use it in our protein powders. We use monk fruit or stevia or other, some other type of sweetener that's natural, but we will not use high fructose corn syrup and anything you get from healthmasters.com. And make sure you look on the labels. This is why almost every single soda is loaded with high fructose corn syrup. Number one, it makes you drink a lot more soda. And if you drink the diet sodas, you get the aspartame. And the aspartame is also very, very addictive. And it is a brain entrainment molecule. It makes you want to drink more and more diet sodas because the methanol is addictive by itself. Plus, we have aspartic acid receptor sites in the brain that release basically dopamine when you drink a lot of aspartic acid. And so you have a compound that's super poisonous and super addictive with artificial sweeteners. And you have the high fructose corn syrup in the regular sodas, which make you crave the sodas and want to drink more and more and more. Plus, they've been chronically linked to fatty liver disease. A lot of guys you'll see, they won't have a lot of fat on their stomach, but they'll have a huge liver pushing their intestines out. And what ends up happening is that the liver starts to get more and more and more fat. It's getting congested, and it's not working properly. One of the best things you can do for fatty liver disease is take medium-chain triglyceride oil. We have that available on the website. It's called MCT oil. I take about a tablespoon of that every day in my protein shake, which, by the way, my entire protein shake now, I've had so many of you ask me, is listed online as Ted's Protein Shake. And I tell you exactly how much I use of everything, including one tablespoon of the MCT oil. And it really helps to bring the belly back in and keep the abs out. So it's a really good product if you have a problem with a fatty liver to take along with the milk thistle. That we have a whole healthy liver program available for you at healthmasters.com. Guys, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for being here and being our friends and praying for us. You guys mean so much to me in Austin. Remember, tomorrow we're going to have Robert David Steele on, and on Friday we're going to have Dave Hodges on. Austin will be traveling on Friday, and then Friday night I will be doing the Hagman Show for the full 3 hours as their guest host. And so I'll be bringing in multiple guests on that show, and you guys are going to love it because we're going to cover a lot about health nutrition that night too. God bless you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow. And Austin, you go ahead and close.
Absolutely, bud. Yeah, and other news as well. I thought this was pretty odd today. Now the Boy Scouts of America have now announced today that they will be allowing girls to join the Scouts program and developing new programs for older girls to earn the rank of Eagle Scout. I don't really know what they're going to call the Boy Scouts anymore. I guess they're just going to call it the Boys and Girl Scouts. I don't know. I don't really have an issue with them mending two of them together. I just don't really understand the concept of having Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and why they've always been separated and now they're trying to add in, unless it all has to do with this whole transgender thing. I don't know. I haven't looked that much into it. I just saw it today and I thought that was pretty wild. Also, too, this is interesting news here. A judge now has ruled that the Black Lives Matter is a social movement like the Tea Party or the Civil Rights Movement and cannot be sued. A police officer has sued Black Lives Matter and D. Ray McKesson, who was an activist in the movement last year, after the police officer was injured by a rock during a protest over a deadly police shooting in Baton Rouge. But U.S. District Judge Brian Jackson dismissed the officer's suit and ruled that Black Lives Matter is not an entity capable of being sued. He said Black Lives Matter is not an entity of any sort, he wrote in his 24-page ruling. He said the officer also attempted to add Black Lives Matter as a defendant, describing it as a national unincorporated association based in California. He said it's organized, they have meetings, they solicit money, they have national chapters, their level of national organization. But again, the judge ruled that there was nothing they could do about it. Grodner also, who was the officer's attorney, Donna Grodner, filed a separate suit against Black Lives Matter in McKesson on behalf of the sheriff's deputy wounded by a gunman who shot and killed three other officers in Baton Rouge last summer. The suit, which is still pending before the same judge, accuses Black Lives Matter and five of its leaders of inciting violence that led to the deadly ambush. This is starting to go with the agenda, as we've talked about before, is they're pushing this no accountability, what the leftist does, what the liberals do with Antifa, because that's what will happen next, is they're going to come out, something's going to happen, somebody's going to get injured, and they're going to sue Antifa. And then they're going to come out and say, you can't sue Antifa, they don't exist, they're not a real entity, they're not a real corporation, there's nothing you can do about it, they're untouchable, which is what this judge blatantly ruled here. This right here gave Black Lives Matter essentially the free pass to do whatever they want. So if they go into a crowd, if they go into a protest and they're wearing masks and they can't be identified and something happens, there's literally no recourse that can be done whatsoever. Even though there's blatantly a leader of Black Lives Matter, the whole group is very well organized on what they do. They're saying that they cannot be sued and they cannot be held accountable for anything that the group does, because essentially the group doesn't exist, is what the judge is saying here, giving these guys carte blanche to be able to do whatever they want to anybody, wherever they want, which is pretty sad to me that that's where we've ruled now in the justice system, as far as with zero accountability to these leftist groups out of fear of repercussion or recourse of violent behavior that they always like to push when they don't get their way. So that's the news for today, guys. We appreciate all the support. Thank you for the emails. I got a lot of them last night. I've been responding to a lot of them. We'll keep you apprised every day on what's going on. I told you in like 2 weeks I'm going to be going out to Vegas for the SEMA vehicle show, and I'm going to go out there and talk to a lot of people, so hopefully I can get some actual real intel on what people are saying out there, people that were may involved in it, people that saw it, and I try and go to ground zero where it happened and the hotel and see if I don't get kicked out. Hopefully I don't. So we'll see how that goes. But anyways, it's Wednesday. Product of the Week has won. If you guys saw that, the Thyroid Support has won again. Very, very popular product, on sale for over 10% off. Very important for the body's conversion of T4 into T3. This is a great product for hypothyroidism or hypothyroidism. Very effective for that. And we've even seen people be able to come off their medications under their doctor's advice while taking this product. So be sure to check that out on the website, on sale right now at healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, 1-800-726-1834. We're here to help you guys Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time, or you can go on the website after hours or email us after hours. So thank you for everything, guys. You have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.